Have an official start now, Lynn. You could start recording. Just to take a minute, and I want to save some time to do some activities. So not going to do a big check-in, but I would like us all to energetically connect with each other, kind of just look around and feel the connection that we have all together as a group tonight. I really enjoyed last week so much. And as I'm working on the content for this week, I realize there is so much more I want to share with you all. So I really hope the opportunity to do a part two of this part of this class, you know, kind of a more extended version, advanced version of this information. I'm so excited to teach you some of these ideas and skills and things that you can actually implement into your life and with your family and friends, but also with your clients. So tonight we're going to go into a little bit more content, but also do some experiential things. So I did want to save time for that. So we'll do just a very short check-in. I'm so happy to have you all here, still having people pop on. Hi, Laura. Hi, Heidi. We have Lynn Rose, Angelica, Martha. So we'll just kind of make sure you're really here and present and grounded. I like a lot of the things I've learned from Laura with all of the courses I've taken with her, just kind of patting down my system. You can stomp your feet, pat yourself down. Your legs, your arms, just really feel yourself in your body. Like really allow yourself to be present and grounded within your own system. Take a deep breath. Feeling very present and grounded within myself, but also noticing the connection I'm feeling with all of you. Really looking forward to sharing a little more time with you all tonight. I very much enjoyed the ACE assessments that I've done with some of you, getting to know you a little bit better. If those of you who haven't yet scheduled, please do. I really enjoyed that time with you and getting to know you. So I'm going to go ahead and just open it up to a quick hello. Just say hello. And if there's anything really burning that you really need to ask about or get out, I invite you to share that now quickly before we get into the content. And if not, just a hello, quick comment, and we'll move on. So Jan, start with you.
Hello. Nothing's burning. I'm excited for what's going to happen.
Great. Thank you. Debbie.
Really happy to be here. I've been learning so much, so just continuing on.
Great. Welcome. Thank you. Marcia.
Hey, so excited to be here. Oh. Just left the beach, so it's a great, I'm in a calm state.
Great. Got Martha and Marcia.
I'm happy to be here. I'm not in a calm state, but I'm here.
Oh, well, hopefully over the next 2 hours, we can regulate your system back to calm.
Thank you.
Yes, welcome. Hi, Janet.
Hi. Always happy to be here with everyone.
Happy to have you. And Valerie.
You.
There we go. Can you repeat that? I didn't quite hear it.
Oh, I said hello. I'm looking forward to another great class with you.
Thank you. Welcome, Mary Lynn. Still can't hear you. Still can't hear you.
I'm unmuted.
I hear you barely.
Okay, I'm good.
Nice.
I'm plugged in.
Yay, welcome.
Hi.
Thank you. Hi, Ruby.
Hi. It's only 4 o'clock here in LA, but then I already finished cooking dinner and I'm ready to just focus the next 2 hours on this. So I'm excited.
Welcome. Happy to have you here. And Heidi.
Hi. I'm excited to be here and looking forward to it. I'm also, I'm a kind of a really busy day and feel a little bit overstimulated. So this is hopefully a great thing to help me figure out how to calm that down. So
great. So you need a little bit of regulation as well. Well, we actually are going to do an activity to help with that. So good timing. Angelica, right as you take a drink. Hi.
Hi. Oh, well, it's 90 degrees here in Austin, so I'm like happy, but kind of sweaty. And yeah, I was just looking forward to class all day. It's like the highlight of my week. So.
Oh, wonderful. So happy to hear that. Thank you. Lynn Rose.
Yep, same here with the weather. It's beautiful outside, though, so that's what I've been doing all day long is working outside, and that always makes me feel good. So I'm happy to be here.
Good. Welcome. Thank you. So happy to have you. Laura.
Yes, hello. Happy to be with all of you, and I'm finding that I'm slowly getting to know you with time, and I love that. And today I had a wonderful day, and somehow my body feels like rushing, and as it rushes, it stresses, especially my throat area. So I'm looking forward to exploring that further through today and the future.
Good. Well, I'm glad that you're having that awareness of what's happening in your system. And now will be a great time for you to be curious about that, but also give you an opportunity to calm down and feel some peace in your system, hopefully today with us. Thank you. And Dietria, can we see you? I see your screen there, but I don't see your face. Maybe she's not there yet. Lynn, have I gotten everyone? I don't know if there's a second screen here that I'm missing of people. Or is that everyone? Did I miss anyone? Okay. Doesn't look like I did.
You're good.
All right. Let's go into what we're going to do tonight. Let me share my screen. All right. Okay, the energy and physiology of trauma, helping clients heal trauma patterns, part two. Our medical disclaimer, same as always. The information in the presentation is not intended to replace a one-on-one relationship with a qualified healthcare professional, and it's not intended as medical advice. It is intended as a sharing of knowledge and information from the research and experience of myself and everyone who has contributed, and we encourage you to make your own healthcare decisions based on your own research and partnership with a qualified healthcare professional. We're going to have that memorized pretty soon here with NEPT. You're going to see that same thing over and over again. What we did last week, I just want to recap quickly, is we worked a little bit more on how to recognize the energy and physiology of trauma in the system. We defined energy and charge. We reviewed more of the specific internal physiology of trauma and the autonomic nervous system. We learned about the vagus nerve, the part the vagus nerve plays, and about the polyvagal theory of trauma. And we showed the long-term effects of unresolved trauma and adverse childhood experiences. So tonight we're going to look more at how to work with the energy and physiology of trauma. And we're going to go into specifically the four R's, not the four R's that most of us are accustomed to in functional nutrition or functional medicine, which is about gut repair and gut healing. But I love this concept of the polyvagal approach to healing. There are four R's because I'm so familiar with the gut healing four R's that it really resonates with me. So I'm excited to teach you the four R's of the polyvagal approach. And then we'll go into a little taste, a little teaser on the introduction of the personality energy patterns. We're going to get a lot more information on that from a different course Laura's going to be teaching here shortly, starting in June. And I know that you're going to be really excited to learn more about that when I give you a taste of it tonight. And then I'm going to go a little bit more into what you might need to do if you're noticing that the trauma the client is experiencing or your friends or family members is beyond your ability to help them or to manage it. So basically when to refer to a trained trauma therapist and how you can help yourself and your friends and your family and your clients to heal the trauma pattern. So what can you do and when is it time to refer out? So quick review, I'm going to do just a really quick review of the energy of trauma, the physiology of trauma, and review of the polyvagal theory, which we want to have a real clear understanding of before we go into how we work with this. So charge, when I use the term charge, everything in the universe is made up of energy, and charge is just another name for that. So everything is energy or charge. First, before it becomes physical, Laura did a great explanation of this in her course last weekend. For those of you that were able to be there with us, it was really great introduction to understanding energy and creating an energy connection. So she does a great job of explaining this, that really things happen in an energetic way before we see it in the physical body, in the physical world. And the energy in the charge really is smarter than us. It knows what it needs to do. So when we learn to work with energy and charge, we don't have to know all of the answers. We can learn to trust the charge itself, and we can learn to work with the charge, but we don't have to be the one deciding what happens with it. We can learn how to let it do its thing. And there is a charge to trauma, a charge that needs to be able to move and flow in an organic way. And those of us who have unresolved trauma in our system ultimately really need to learn how to and have help in allowing a discharge of that to come out of the system before real healing can happen. So quickly, the qualities of charged. When we sense charge, it comes into our nervous system before we can even think about it. So it's very much before our brain can kick in and have a judgment about it. Charge is generally neutral, but it can be experienced as positive or negative, and that really depends on our perception and on the context of the experience of the charge. The charge does affect our physiology, as we just said earlier. Energy and charge is first before the physiology gets changed by the charge. And we can be either overcharged or undercharged, but the thing is that it should be moving. The body is designed to help us maintain a balance of charge. We're going to get charged up and we're going to discharge many times throughout the day. And we need to know how to allow that movement. We don't want to block it or contain it or suppress it. To be healthy, we need to regulate this charge that moves through our system. And we can learn how to have a balanced flow of charge. People that have a trauma history, their charge gets disrupted and they have a hard time with a healthy flow of charge. But the good news is that we can learn to sense it, cultivate it, manage it, so that we can live a vibrantly healthy life. So the autonomic nervous system is really what we start with to understand the energy and the physiology of trauma. The autonomic nervous system is our personal surveillance system. It's always on guard and it's always asking, is this safe? And the autonomic nervous system shapes our experiences of safety and our ability for connection. So again, throughout the day, we're going to have lots of experience of charge and discharge, right? There's breathing in and there's breathing out. There's sleeping and then there's waking up and taking action during the day. There's constant times where we're going through this charge-discharge cycle. And some of us, especially if we have a trauma history, it's not easy for us, the charge-discharge cycle. But it might be challenging in different areas for different people. Some people have a hard time building up to the charge, to the peak. Sometimes people have a hard time allowing the release and allowing themselves to relax. But there's a typical charge-discharge cycle that everyone should be experiencing throughout the day. Trauma disrupts the flow of charge. So the human body has an amazing ability to adapt to stress and trauma. We're designed to be on the alert for possible danger, and we're designed physiologically to be able to manage a threat and danger. And we actually find strategies that work to help us maintain or help us manage the overwhelm of charge. So we physiologically are wired to learn how to or to deal with big dangerous things. And so we find some strategies to help us manage the big, big dangerous things and the sense of overwhelm that comes into the system, right? So the body's designed to do this, but trauma can create a really inefficient defensive strategy that can eventually lead to physical and mental dis-ease. So I wanted to review again common symptoms that people with a trauma history can have. Not everyone with trauma histories have problems or have it be an issue later in life or even after a trauma, but some people do. So this is what you might see if somebody has a dysregulated system from trauma. They have a harder time to regulate their system, meaning they lose their ability to flexibly move between the different states of the autonomic nervous system. So they lose what we call autonomic nervous system poise, right? There's charge and discharge every day, all day, and people with a trauma history have a hard time managing the shift and change as we move through the charge. And they can't easily activate their defenses in very risky or dangerous situations, and they might have trouble relaxing in very safe environments. It can be very difficult for them to establish and maintain safe and healthy relationships. And often they react disproportionately to an event happening in present time. Because when you have a trauma history, often your body is stuck in the past. Your body is reacting as if the trauma is still happening. So often a client or a person with a trauma history will act very disproportionately to something that's happening in the present moment because their system remembers a time that was similar in the past and it's reacting as if the trauma is current. And they have physical, emotional, and mental symptoms due to the constant and chronic dysregulation of the HPAT axis, which again is the hypothalamic pituitary adrenal thyroid axis. I don't want you to get overwhelmed with this picture. Those of you in NEPT might be very familiar with it. It's from Dr. Ida Marie. But what I do like to point out is the very complicated interaction of all of these different components of the HPAT axis, and to point out that it's a very, very tightly regulated system. And when one component gets thrown off, and stress is a big thing, a thing that can throw off any one of these components, the rest of the components are out of balance as well. So we talked a lot about that last week, and those of you in NEPT have access to this information in great detail. But wanted to remind you also of the part that the vagus nerve plays in the physiology here. The vagus nerve wanders throughout the body, and it's found in all the major organs in the gut. And the main points to remember here is that it's bidirectional. It gives information from the brain to the body and from the body to the brain. It's the main nerve in the autonomic nervous system, and it regulates digestion. It's a major component in the gut-brain connection. So we just want to keep that in mind as we review the polyvagal theory, because it helps us understand how the human body tries to manage stress physiologically. So the polyvagal theory. Points I want to bring into today's lecture is that there are three pathways that can be activated by stress in the autonomic nervous system. We call it the polyvagal theory because two of those three pathways are directly tied to the vagal nerve, the vagus nerve. There's a hierarchy of how the body manages stress. So the order goes, the oldest evolutionary defensive response is in the dorsal vagal part of our nerve in our autonomic nervous system. That is what we it lives in the reptilian, the brainstem, the reptilian brain. And that's the freeze way to manage stress, freeze and shut down, collapse. The next in the hierarchy in the evolutionary order is the sympathetic fight or flight response. And that's the mobilization where we can take action and fix the problem by fight or run. And then the top of that is the newest tool that we have to manage stress, and that's called the ventral vagal pathway. And that is social engagement. So in that place, we interact with others and we feel safe and secure, and we can have great connection with other people. Another point to remember about the polyvagal theory is we use this term called neuroception. Neuroception describes how the autonomic nervous system responds to cues of danger and safety way before there's any cognitive thought or awareness around what's happening. Your system senses things before your brain can understand or make sense of it. Okay. We're designed this way. We sense the energy and we sense the threat before our brain can interpret it. And the last point about the polyvagal theory in review is that co-regulation. Co-regulation is a biological imperative, and that means we absolutely need, our nervous systems need to be around other people and co-regulate with other people to sustain life. So it's not just a nice to have, it is a need to have for humans to have safe connection so that our nervous systems can co-regulate together. So I just kind of want to, yeah, question.
Yeah, there's a great question here that Angelica has, and I think this is a great time to bring this up.
Okay.
She is close to somebody who talks about a literal brain chemistry imbalance that leads her to intrusive thoughts, high anxiety, and suicidal thoughts. So she's curious to know if a chemical imbalance can be addressed using what you're teaching us here tonight about trauma. So do some psychiatrists, therapists, whatever, do they write off trauma as a chemical imbalance and ignore the energy work as a viable healing modality?
Yeah, that's a great question, Angelica. And I think that yes, many times because the tools that they have at their disposal are more about thinking of it in terms of a chemical imbalance. And so they use chemicals to treat the chemical imbalance, right? And I am a proponent of utilizing tools to help have symptom relief, because I find that when we're dealing with really severe symptoms, it's hard to be able to learn to regulate the system to be in a place of healing. So I think that there are definitely probably some very appropriate uses of those medications, but many times, the symptoms are confused with being a chemical imbalance when really it is a trauma. But trauma does change the chemicals in your body, right? So the trauma being the root cause of that chemical imbalance is what we really want to focus on. If they need medication to help with symptom relief, that's what these doctors know how to use. And I think because of the polyvagal theory especially, there's more and more traditional Western medicine practitioners that are bringing in the idea of trauma as being a root cause of these disorders or diseases. So I'm not sure if that answered your question completely, and I think you'll have more.
Yeah, it does. I mean, it's like I want to bring up, you know, what I'm learning and share it with her, but I'm afraid to because she kind of insists like, no, my brain's just different than yours. So I don't want to, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think that the thing that you could probably do right now for her is offer her that social engagement and help her regulate if she can co-regulate with you and have time with a loving, accepting friend, she might be more and more safe and feel trusting and safety with you and be more open to some of those ideas. But it is unfortunately part of our culture that we look at mental illness and mental problems as simply a chemical imbalance in the body. And if we can fix the chemical imbalance, it will go away. But you know, if the root cause is trauma, we really need to work on the actual trauma itself and move the energy of trauma through the system. And now because of things like the polyvagal theory, we do have some science that shows how the energy of trauma and the energy of these highly stressful events show up in our physiology. And it does change the chemicals in our body, right? But the root is usually pretty often is I like to look at do they really have a diagnosed chemical imbalance or do they have trauma at the root? So anyway.
And Laura,
yeah.
Laura said, pull up here again. Suggest you ask her what her ideal healing goal would look like. Mm-hmm. And then as what would need to be inclusive to lead her in the direction.
Beautiful. Thank you, Laura. Yeah. And I found if people that have really, we call it trauma with a big T, like pretty big trauma or complex trauma, lots of traumas kind of in the system and they're all gumped together and it's hard to differentiate them. People in that situation, if they're not ready, it's not time to work on it, right? It's just not. But you giving her some information might spark her interest in when she's ready, you know, and you can ask her those questions. And again, I know you're in TEH, you're going to learn a lot of skills on how to help her and inquire. What is it that she is looking for? So I'm going to move on unless there's another big question here, Lynn, that's appropriate. So again, this is just the hierarchy in the polyvagal theory, these three pathways that the body uses to deal with stress or threat. Three pathways. Oh, I did all that already. So here's what I'm excited to share with you, some actual tools to work with the energy and physiology of trauma. And the four R's in the polyvagal approach to therapy are recognize the autonomic state. Okay, we'll review that quickly, but we did go over that last week. We have state one or state zero, state one, state two, state three, and state four. And they very much are in alignment with the autonomic ladder, where we talk about the three pathways, the dorsal vagal, the sympathetic, and the ventral vagal, or the social engagement system. So recognizing that. Respect the adaptive survival response. I'm going to teach you what I mean by the adaptive survival response shortly. Regulate or co-regulate back to the ventral vagal state, which is that state zero of calm but alert. It's the social engagement place where we feel safe in connection and we're actually healing through connection. And then we re-story. So it's recognize, respect, regulate, and re-story. So the first one is recognizing the autonomic state. Okay. So you'll remember this graphic from last week. We start with calm and relaxed, but alert. And when we're talking about the hierarchy, it's the recent, most recent evolutionary adaptation in the human body, called the ventral vagal state, social engagement, or otherwise state zero. No stress or no worries. State one is when we notice that something is up and our system is on alert. We're very highly aware. And our physiology is helping us be more aware of what's happening in the environment and internally. And then if the threat actually shows up and it's right here, we move up to state two, strongly stressed. Now we're in full-blown sympathetic fight or flight mobilization. Our bodies are now able physiologically to run or to fight. If we can no longer run or fight because we're overwhelmed by the threat or because our bodies just simply can't tolerate running any longer, we move into state three, which is overwhelm. This is where we collapse. We're immobile, freeze here. And if it's severe, for instance, if we have an injury so severe, we go into shock, or we just simply pass out, the body really literally fully collapses and freeze. We're conscious, it's going to be state three if we're really severe and unconscious, state four. So these are the different states, and I found it really, really helpful for clients to have language to describe, to name, to notice, and to name what's happening in their system, okay? The ability to recognize the state we're in can absolutely be the first step in healing. I love these maps, because it gives us a context to work with. It gives the clients the language for their experiences, and they, as they get more comfortable with sensing their autonomic state, they can then more easily move into using specific energy vocabulary that you learn in TEH. And I think Laura went through some of that in last weekend's course, and in the awakening, we go through that quite a bit as well. But we don't grow up often with this energetic language. So this is a great introduction into clients starting to sense or notice their own state, be able to name it, and then get better at really getting more specific about what they're noticing and have language to name it. When you can notice what state you're in, you can be engaged with it instead of just being engaged by it. So I believe this is partly how we start to become empowered and start to heal ourselves. So noticing and naming it also can help to interrupt the habitual patterns that we can get into. And I'm going to talk about the patterns shortly. And it can help us separate the state of our nervous system from the story that we start to tell ourselves because of our perceptions that we're experiencing. So we remember, we have the state in our nervous system happens before we make up the story. So I would like us now to do an activity. And Lynn, either I can have you put us in pairs, or I think I can do it. Can I do breakout rooms, Lynn, here myself? Or do I need
don't know. I know I can do it. I've got the little thing out there.
Could you pair everyone up? I'd like to get into partners. And I would like you all to be able to just have a witness, somebody to express yourself to. The partner, you're just going to listen. You're not going to offer anything other than active listening, maybe repeat back what you hear, but don't give advice. But what I'd like you to do is have the opportunity to express to your partner what it's like for you when you're in state zero, when you're calm, and when you're connected and you're feeling safe. What it's like for you in the fight or flight mode, state one and two, and what it's like for you when you're in dorsal vagal, or state three and four. So we're not going to go into process here. This is just explaining or expressing what you experiencing in these different states. Okay, so it could be energetic, it could be physical, it could be emotional or a mental experience. Maybe what you tend to do in these different states, or it might be more about what you feel when you're in these states. You're just going to give yourself a chance to express what you notice about yourself in these different states. So I'm going to actually exit the share. And any questions on that activity? You're going to have about 3 minutes each, because I'd like you to each have a minute for each of the three states. How are you when you're in social connection, calm and alert, state zero? How are you when you're in hot symptoms, in the fight or flight? How are you in the cold symptoms or overwhelm, freeze, state three and four? And yes, both of you will get a chance to share. So pick one person to go first, have about 3 minutes, and then switch, and then the other person will have 3 minutes.
I'm just going through because it looks like, let's see, is Janine on twice? I have Janine's phone. I'm just making sure it isn't on twice. Nope. Okay. All right. Ready? Everybody ready? Beam me up.
Oh, is Teresa on? Yay.
She's here, but she couldn't be paired.
I can pair with her.
No, she said she couldn't. She said she couldn't be paired.
Oh, okay.
So I put.
I'm sorry, Janine. I didn't warn you. I totally forgot I was going to do the partnering thing. I forgot. Thank you for winging that with me.
And how long do they have?
6 minutes, 3 minutes each.
Fast.
It's all good. Oh, good.
Or we're still talking.
I was still talking.
Oh.
Are you there?
I'm sorry. Oops.
Did you get to be in a group, Lynn, or was there an odd number?
No, I was in a group, but it just ended suddenly. And
Did you not get the you're supposed to get the thing that says you have 60 seconds.
I didn't get that.
I couldn't read it.
I didn't do that.
I missed my timer on my phone.
Yeah, that's what I did.
It was in the middle of her face, and I was trying to get it off.
I like these exercises. This is most fun.
I think they're fun, too. It's fun to get to know each other a little bit better. I love it.
Yes.
Okay. All right, looks like we're back. Any comments or any short shares that anybody would like to share with the group? How was that for you?
Laura had some good comments.
Thank you, Kimberly. I loved that exercise. I loved breaking it down and naming it. And I'm always thinking about everybody else, but I really got to, like, and Valerie made me go first. So I had to, like, that was good. see my own, and it gave me a little insight into my use of pumpkin seeds when I'm in state two, you know, I got to have that little, you know, I feel that anxiety a little bit come up and it's plugged right into the gut. And so there's that knee jerk wanting to express that nervousness, find a vehicle of expression for that nervousness that's not really serving me so well. But it was really cool to, like, name it. And then also to hear Valerie's sort of some similarities and some differences to mine, but how we each uniquely express those three states. So thank you for that. That's great.
You know what? I love this, especially many times people with lots of a trauma history have a real hard time tuning in and noticing their own system. So this is a great way to start for them to be curious about these different states. And then what we learn with you, Laura, is a whole energy vocabulary. But when somebody is new to this, they can't find the words. They have a hard time articulating and even sensing it. So this is a beautiful place to start, I think. It has been for me with my client. Yeah. Anybody else want to share quickly what that was like for you? Hi, Jill. Nice to see you. Laura, do you have something?
Actually, having been in a tense mode before coming, I definitely feel more relaxed right now. The fact that I expressed those three stages and was mindful of the three different stages. Just the action of expression is very relaxing.
Yeah, wonderful. And maybe the component of having a partner that was listening to you and connecting with you, helping you regulate that, right?
And at the end, she left abruptly. So maybe that abruptness also helped the relaxation. I'm not sure. It could be a shock.
Yeah. But I love that you're able to notice it and to name that. Great. Thank you. Anybody else have any comments they'd like to share about that experience? All right. Well, let's move on to the next R, shall we? So let me share my screen again. All right. So the next R, I have the little bit of a pictures that like I can see some of you all here, and I don't know how to move. I'm going to stop my share and move the.
Janine asked a question.
Okay. What's that question?
Name it just means how you feel during those stages.
Naming it as title it. What is the state? Am I in state zero, state one, or am I in ventral vagal, social connection? Am I frozen? So kind of giving a title to the state in the nervous system. And then you can describe it after that. But in my practice working with with trauma, I like to give them the opportunity to notice the state and name the state first. And then it helps them get more accustomed to paying attention and tuning in and coming up with a way to describe it. Okay, I figured it out now. So the next R is respect the adaptive survival response. Now, this is a huge, huge topic, and we have Laura here who is a master at this topic. She certainly knows it way better than I do, but I'm excited to give you a taste of it tonight. In TEH, we call it personality energy patterns. Okay, this is the autonomic body-based reactions that we have to stress and trauma, and they're conditioned by past experiences. They're usually reactions that are not really relevant to the present situation. And we utilize these strategies as a buffer to help us prevent becoming overwhelmed with a situation. So it's kind of moving past the slightly stressed state. And so our body kicks in with these reactions to try and prevent from being fully overwhelmed and move into that state three. I love, wait, let me see. Did I have other things I wanted to say about that one? Yes. Let me go back to this slide. So remember, we said that naming and noticing the state can also help to interrupt the habitual trauma patterns that people can get stuck in. Okay, so this is an introduction into a system so that we can explain these habitual patterns. Okay, we call them the personality energy patterns, right? Learning about these patterns has helped me so much. It gives me a deeper understanding of myself as well as other people around me and my clients. And I think it really can help us to cultivate more compassion for ourselves and for others as well. It's a really amazing tool if you're in practice, if you're a practitioner, to work with your clients, but also anybody that's in a relationship with somebody else. Like basically every human being, I think, can benefit from understanding these defensive strategy patterns that we get into. So this is, again, this is a really, really big topic. I am only covering this briefly for two reasons: to help you understand this R in the four R's, right? To respect this pattern, but also as a taste for learning about this in the module that Laura teaches called Dancing with Defenses. I think it's such a worthwhile thing to learn for your own personal life, but also for working with clients. It's a really useful topic, but it's such a big topic. I'm just going to give you a little taste. Okay. But what understanding these personal energy patterns can do for us is to really help us understand and discover some of the subconscious beliefs, the fears, the doubts that we might have, and also some ideas for solution. Really gives us some tools on how we can deal with these defensive patterns that are no longer useful for us. So one of my favorite neuroscience guys, Dr. Joe Dispenza, says that your personality creates your personal reality. So what he's talking about here really is about what another guy who talks about the personality patterns, his name is Stephen Kessler, and he teaches this in great detail in his book called The Five Personality Patterns. And Stephen Kessler explains these character structures are defensive strategies or patterns that we get into to help us. And what they do is these patterns shape how we think, how we move, what we feel, how we express ourselves, and our behaviors, and how we show up in the world, basically. And all of these things shape our personality. And so all of these things then therefore shape our reality. Okay. So the better we understand our personality, the more we understand why our reality is the way it is. And for those people that were shaped in trauma, that had a lot of, especially that earlier developmental trauma, knowing this and understanding this is really useful, helpful information. So the key points, before I go into explaining these five patterns, the key points to remember about the patterns is that they're adaptive survival strategies that helped you to manage overwhelm. We learned these tools when we were younger, okay? Usually not serving us as well now that we're adults, right? The patterns are not pathology. You are not your pattern. Everyone can use multiple patterns, and there's a wide spectrum. So some people might use a pattern just a little bit. Some people might be really classically using the pattern a lot, and they're really, really in pattern. We do tend to have one dominant pattern and one secondary pattern, but we can use all of the different, they're strategies. So we might use one strategy in one situation in our life and another strategy in another situation. And we can learn to consciously manage the pattern. So we can learn to consciously manage the charge in our system and the way we deal with that charge in our life. So, and there are lots and lots of gifts in the pattern. And the good news is that we don't lose the gifts when we heal the ineffective patterns. So that's just disclosures I want to make about the patterns before we go into them. So these patterns, this picture actually.
Marcia had this question. So, you know, you're talking about remembering, but even if you don't remember feeling this way when you're younger, that you have, you still have this feeling and it coming up.
I'm going to talk about the energy, not the emotion right now. Okay. So if we had trauma as children and we all had stress, if not trauma, right? We all learn how to try and be safe and protect ourselves from being overwhelmed. Okay. And what I like to start off with is teaching people how the charge of energy, the charge of stress or trauma that we're exposed to is managed in the body. Okay, so these different styles of management are what we're calling the personality energy patterns. Okay, so I'm not talking about the emotion of it now, but we will. Laura goes deep into common emotional patterns that are associated with these patterns. But right now, for our purposes, we're going to talk about the literal movement of charge in the system. And this picture is from Stephen Kessler's book. And this actually, the book, Five Personality Patterns, is required reading for the upcoming Dances with Defenses classes that Laura goes into using this work. And I love the visual here that he uses. The five patterns we're going to go over in order, in a specific order, okay? Because the earlier age-wise that we encounter stress, the fewer strategies we have available to us to manage and deal with the stress. So we can have stress before conception even, right? There's inherited stress. There's ancestral stress and trauma that actually change the DNA, that our ancestors' experiences changed their DNA, pass that along to us. So we literally can be born into stress that happened before us, it's not even ours. But then there's, of course, stress that your parents were under that affected the egg and the sperm before they came together to make you. When you were in gestation, there's a possibility of big stress and trauma. So the earlier this stress occurred, the less defensive strategy you had to manage it. So the first stress pattern we review, you can see in this picture here, on the far left, is the energy is kind of shooting out. It's not safe to be in the body, so the charge doesn't even come in or connect or stay in the body. So this person can tend to be very dissociated because it's just not safe, and the young baby does not have the ability to stand up and run away or to fight. So as we grow older, we have more tools at our disposal, so we see different strategies come on board. So I'm going to go through this in age shortly, but the first pattern you see the energy, and it doesn't always have to be tied to age, but we'll learn it in developmental stages. the energy of this first person is just shooting out, not sticking, not staying in. It's not grounded. It's moving out. The second person you see here, their energy is wanting to connect or merge with another person to feel safe. The middle pattern here, the energy charge comes into the body. And for this person, they hold the energy and sometimes push it down to keep it, to keep them feeling safe. So you can see the energy comes in, but they shove it down. The fourth one here, the energy is moving a lot. It's moving up and out versus in and down, like the middle one. And the guy on the far right here has energies very contained and very tight. He's holding it. It's not moving much, and it's very, very contained in there. So these give you a great visual of how the charge can move in the system defensively and how the charge can literally shape our bodies. It also shapes our stories we tell ourselves and our behaviors and our emotions and all of that. But I love the visual here because we're working with the charge. We're talking about the charge. This is what the charge can do to the body. How we manage our charge shapes our body and our behavior. All right, let's see. Oh, and I always want to remember the good news is we can learn to intentionally direct our charge. So if we grew up with a pattern of disconnection, for instance, and not being grounded because it was a defensive strategy to feel safe, we can reshape the pattern and learn how to feel safe in the body and learn how to direct our charge and use it purposefully. When there's developmental trauma or trauma at a young age or even preconception, human babies can't regulate their own nervous system. Remember when they're first born. We absolutely depend on our parents and our caregivers to regulate our system for us and then to co-regulate with us and then model healthy regulation so that we can eventually regulate our system on our own when we need to. And we feel safe with others when it's appropriate to co-regulate. But during each stage of development, we learn new skills and our autonomic nervous system continues to get shaped in our own pattern. And if health and supportive connection, social engagement is missing in childhood, then it can have some of the same effects as the other ACEs, even if it doesn't seem like there's an obvious trauma that you experienced. Lack of regulation and healthy connection can create the same effects in the body as trauma events do. Okay. So these are the two resources that I'm using. There's others that are great. The Five Personality Patterns is the Stephen Kessler book that Laura uses to teach Dancing with Defenses. And then I love Anna Dea Judith, who I was introduced to because of Laura, and I learned this with Laura and Anna Dea, and Anna Dea has many books, but her newest one is my absolute favorite for the simplicity and depth at the same time, Charge in the Energy Body. So those are the two resources that I'm referencing here in this presentation. There's a lot more to know, and I'm just skimming the tip of the iceberg here. And this is going to be very quick, because you can learn a lot about this later with Laura and Dancing with Defenses. The first pattern, I like to call the leaving pattern, but some other names you might hear are the schizoid, creative, unwanted child. And the age is preconception or conception to about 6 months old. And this is visuals from Anna Dea's book. Remember in Stephen Kessler's visual, it was just energy shooting out. This one shows the pattern, the charge and holding pattern here is that the energy moves up and out. It's a very high charge situation. The person tends to be very high anxiety and jumpy. Their challenge is being embodied. To feel safe in the body can be a real challenge for this pattern. I'm not going to go through their fears and their defense strategies and the gifts because I really want to focus on what they're doing with the charge. And this person tends to let the charge move out because it doesn't feel safe in the body. the next pattern, the merging pattern, also known as the oral, the lover, the undernourished child. In Stephen Kessler's picture, it showed this merging energy with another being, another person. And in this picture, it shows how the pattern of the energy moves up and, oh, sorry, moves kind of an angle here, an angle here. I think also showing this kind of needing movement in connection with another person. They tend to be very collapsed. And this person has a lower charge, not the high jumpy charge that the leaving pattern has, but it's a very collapsed and low charge. Their challenge is receiving and self-reliance. Remember this, at this age, 6 months to 2 years, we learn how to receive nourishment and love from our mothers. So if this stage gets disrupted, this energy pattern can take place, and the defensive strategy is feeling the need to have other people meet our needs. We fixate on others, and other people are needed to help us to meet our own needs. There's the enduring pattern, otherwise known as the masochist, the defeated child, or the overmanaged child. You can see how, well, let me first of all, the age here is 18 months to 3 years. And if this pattern, or if this developmental stage is disrupted from stress or from trauma or something, interrupts their healthy development, this person will then learn to take energy in and often push it down or hold it, right? And it's very dense, blocked charge. They can hold the charge, and they can be very grounded with their charge, but there's not a lot of movement. And you can see there's often this little bit of a forward movement in the head, also a little bit collapsed here. They tend to be very stocky, often very stocky in the lower part of their body. And they have a trouble taking action. They have a lot of charge, but it's held. And their defensive strategy is to hide. And I wish I had time to go through all the beautiful gifts of each of these patterns. They all have beautiful gifts, but right now I really want to go through, I want you to have a sense of how the charge is moving in their system in a defensive way. So this person wants to hide and resist what's happening. The challenger defender pattern, also known as the psychopath or the aggressive or the betrayed child, wounding or disruption of the developmental stage between 2.5 to 4 years old. This person can move the charge pretty well, as opposed to the enduring pattern where there's not a lot of movement. This person tends to bring the charge in and often brings it up and maybe even shoves it and pushes it out. So they can be very aggressive with their energy. So they hold up. Their upper body is usually very well formed and their posture is good and tall. But sometimes it can be disproportionate. Their lower body might be small with a much thicker torso. High charge. This person has a much higher charge than the enduring than the emerging pattern. And what they tend to do when they're feeling defensive, it's to dominate and control. They don't want to surrender. They feel safe only if they're in control. And then the last pattern is called the rigid or achiever pattern, also known as the perfectionist and hurried child. The age of disruption or wounding is 3.5 to 5. And the charge pattern here is it's held very tightly. This person holds their charge back. They're not very in tune with their inner experience. It's very much on the surface. And so what they tend to do when they're feeling defensive or overwhelmed is they compete and they follow the rules. It's very much about their outward appearance and their actions, their human doings versus human beings, right? So the energy in here is usually a real high charge, but it's very stagnant and it's held very tightly and very rigidly, hence the name. So again, I wish I had a lot more time to go through this. Laura does an amazing job with Dancing with Defenses module that's coming up. And I believe that starts in June. The first class is June 29th. So we do have some time. It's a 10 session video Zoom conference session. So there's 10 of them. It alternates between 2 hours 1 week and 75 minutes the next week. And they occur over 10 consecutive weeks. So we'll get you when it's ready, we'll make sure you have the link to that. So if you're interested, I know many of you on the call have taken that class, and it's invaluable to help you with your personal relationships, but also as a practitioner, it's really helped me in my practice, understanding people's defensive patterns and their wounding, and to give you tools and strategies to work with these specific patterns and heal the patterns. So I want you to just take a minute and to think about this. Like, what do you tend to do with your charge? Do you tend to check out if you feel overwhelmed? Do you tend to feel really needy of connecting with somebody to help you regulate? Do you just take it on and keep on keeping on, like the enduring pattern person? Do you need to be in control and dominate the situation and maybe throw your energy out at people? Or do you tend to fix it, perform, think about how you can make it better, what you need to do next to fix it? So do you hold the energy tightly in your system? Lynn, you're raising your hand. Are you relating to one of those?
Well, that, and I had, there's two questions. One, Marcia was asking, is it possible that you don't have just one dominant, but two that can be equal?
Yeah, I think there's as many possible combinations as there are humans on this planet. Because, and I have found with myself and with my clients that you can choose a pattern, because a pattern is a strategy. You can choose a strategy in different circumstances, in different situations. But I have found also that it is very true that there's one or two pretty clear dominant ones, and they're strategies we can learn to adapt to and use appropriately. So maybe there's a situation where you want to bring in that rigid pattern because they're really good at performing. They're really good at organizing. They're really good at getting stuff done, right? Maybe there's a moment where you need to use the enduring pattern of being able to hold big space for heavy, intense things that are happening. So I think the healthier we are, the more we can choose how to manage our charge and use these patterns for our benefit instead of using it unconsciously as a defense. Is that helpful?
Laura says, Laura says, I'll add that choice is most often not conscious, it's reactive.
Yes.
And one of the things that I think people are starting to understand here, along with myself, is that so many times we look at these things, we learn these things, and we feel like we're assigned it. Like, okay, this makes sense, so I must be this person. And that's not what this is, which is what I like about it. It's a strategy that we've developed to survive.
Right. And we did it unconsciously, right? It was an unconscious energetic tool that helped us. The problem is that we continued, it worked, we survived, but we continued to use the pattern because it did work at one point. And often now as adults, it's not as effective. And we're still continuing to do the habitual pattern, right? And remember, we talked about in this slide here, naming and noticing it helps us to interrupt. We can start to watch us. Laura calls it the objective observer. And just by noticing what we're doing, it helps us to interrupt the pattern that's no longer serving us, right? Like Laura said, it was originated subconsciously and even sometimes pre-verbally. Right. When we were very young, before we even had the capacity to understand what we were doing or talk about what we were doing.
Right. I know I have a tendency to look at it like our genetics. We aren't our genetics. What we do in our life elicits that reaction. And that description works for me. And yeah, and Laura said, love that quote, Kimberly. So that is, I I appreciate. I wanted to ask these questions as you were going on because I knew it would make more sense than waiting to the very end. So thank you for letting me interrupt your flow a little.
My pleasure. And I trust that you're continuing with big, important questions, relevant questions in the chat. Please continue to interrupt. And a lot of this does all tie together eventually. And a lot, I understand that I am repeating myself quite a bit and I do that on purpose. And I try and say things numerous ways because this is a lot. And some of us really understand it and resonate with it easily. And sometimes it takes a little longer for us to really grasp it. So I will continue to repeat myself. So in part of this step two of respecting the adaptive style is to recognize and respect the fact that it worked, right? These tools worked for you and you did survive. So we want to respect that aspect of us. We did the best we could and we were pretty creative in figuring out some tools that allow us to get through these difficult situations. So then noticing and naming it will help to interrupt the pattern. And Laura does a great job of teaching how to be the objective observer. How can we really pay attention to? I love these five patterns because it gives us an idea to think about what might we be doing with our charge. If we don't have a clue, and some of us with trauma are so disconnected from our senses that we don't know what we're doing, and it's so subconscious. So this gives us some options to be curious. What am I doing with my charge? And just being able to watch it helps us to remember engage with it instead of be engaged by it. So also, I love this system because it helps us have more compassion for ourselves, more compassion for other people. So when we notice that we're being reactive in a defensive way versus being in that state zero, calm, present state, we can be more compassionate because we realize that reaction originated in the need to feel safe. And that allows us to be able to accept these parts of us, have compassion and acceptance for these parts of us that maybe we don't like so much. Maybe they haven't served us well, but maybe we also just don't like that part of us. Like I know there's part of me that has this merging pattern of feeling like I need somebody to help me feel better. And yes, we need social connection, but I was so ashamed of the fact that I had needs. But understanding now that that was part of my defensive pattern makes it easier for me to accept that about myself. So any questions before I move on to the next R, regulate? Great. So number three, regulate or co-regulate back to ventral vagal or state zero. So the goal when we're working with trauma is to help people get to or learn how to regulate back to calm, regulate back to state zero, and feel safe enough in connection with others to allow for co-regulation. Because remember, co-regulation is an absolute need. The problem is that many people with unresolved trauma, they don't feel safe with people to be able to co-regulate. People with trauma histories find it difficult to regulate their system. They lose their autonomic nervous system poise to be able to move flexibly back and forth when appropriate. They can't easily activate their defenses in risky or dangerous situations. They have trouble relaxing in safe environments. So their brain will know that it's safe, but their body doesn't feel safe. And it's difficult for them to establish and maintain safe and healthy relationships, which is a problem because humans need co-regulation. So this is a huge piece of healing when we're dealing with trauma. So before I work with a client that has known trauma, I always help the client first find a resource that we can return to if they start to feel the overwhelm come to the surface. So in other words, I want to make sure that they have a tool that they can use to get back to state zero if their system starts to move out of control and they're feeling overwhelmed. Now, this is really, really important because they might not yet feel safe enough with me for co-regulation. So it gives them a technique that they can use on their own outside of a therapy session, but also I feel safer and they feel safer in a therapy session. If they're wanting to explore the trauma, we know we have a place we can go where they can regulate their system. So the goal again is to establish state zero in their body. We want to establish bodily sensations that are associated with safety and comfort. So we do that with all five senses. I need to bring in all five senses of using, or we want to feel safe with all five senses, basically. So I establish this with my clients before I'm going to work on a known trauma. Okay. So I would like to give you an example of this, right? I'm going to exit my screen here for a moment. And I would like to invite you all just to relax for a few minutes. And you can close your eyes if you want to. You can sit and get comfortable. Take a deep breath. My intention with this is that I want to bring a client to a place in their mind and in their body that feels safe. So we have choices. We can go back to a memory of social connection where you felt really safe and loved. So it could be with other people, or it could be a place or a time where you were totally alone. Either one is fine. But a place where you felt really, really safe, a place that you love. For some people, it's an imaginary place. For some people, it's grandma's house. For some people, it's their treehouse growing up. For some people, it's at the dinner table with their family. For some people, it's a vacation spot that they go to. It doesn't matter. It can be real. It can be fantasy. It doesn't matter. The nervous system is going to have the experience, whether it's a fantasy or a past memory, doesn't matter. I'm very careful when people that I know have a trauma history come up with like a family reunion or a vacation. If there's a perpetrator in the family that could show up in their memory, I'm very careful. So sometimes we have strategy around that. We might put a do not enter sign on the door or post the sign on the beach and put, or we might put an imaginary fence around where you're at. But I work with a client with a known trauma history to create a very, very safe place or resource. And then, if you can think, or if you have something in your mind, a place that you would like to go, then I invite you to allow yourself to kind of sink down into your system, shift your awareness really into your body. Imagine that you're there in that safe place. And I want you to imagine what it feels like. If you're walking, what does it feel like under your feet? What's the sensation on your skin in this spot? Do you notice the grass under your feet? Do you notice sand? Maybe you're laying on the bed and you feel totally supported by all your big pillows and stuffed animals. Maybe you feel the breeze of the wind against your legs and your arms. Maybe you feel your hair being blown by the wind. To really soak in the sensation of this place. What does the sensation feel like on your skin, in your body? I want you to notice if there's a smell in this place. Do you smell the ocean? Do you smell the flowers or the wet grass. As I'm working with clients in this place, I have them describe it to me. Really take me there. I want to be there with you. How does it feel on your skin? What does it smell like? I want to be there with you in this beautiful spot. I want to sense it myself. What do you hear in this place? Your birds chirping, other kids playing, maybe your favorite song on the radio or the record player. How does your body want to move with the sound? Or not at all, maybe. Doesn't want to move. Maybe it's just so relaxed. It's just laying perfectly still and content. And really let yourself totally soak up the pleasure of being in this safe, beautiful place. Let this sensation of safety and peace or joy soak into every cell of your body. Really let yourself be aware of what it feels like on your skin. What it sounds like, what it smells like. And notice the emotion that you have here. This is your home, right? Establish this as a autonomic nervous system home base. This is where we can return and rejuvenate, return and heal, come back into regulating our system in this beautiful place. I'll give you a few more seconds to allow yourself to come out of this place, however you need to leave. You need to say goodbye to anybody who's there. You need to tell yourself you'll be back soon. Allow yourself to shift slowly into the awareness of the present moment with your classmates, with our tribe here. If anybody would like to share their experience, you're welcome to tell me how that was for you. Mary Lynn.
Can you hear me okay?
I can.
Okay. I was at first having a hard time trying to think of a one, but I did. I came up with something, my childhood bedroom with the window open and the breeze coming in, and it was my stuffed animals and... And then I was also thinking I would like, that's a long time ago, I would like to create, I have to think about this, in current time, a safe space that I could go to now. I think I'd like to do that.
You don't have that right now?
I don't know that I do.
Oh, I think that's a wonderful idea to create a place in real present time for you. Yeah. So, wonderful.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing. Yeah. Who else would like to share? Yeah, Angelica.
I really just got like a string of good ones. Most of them included people, but all kinds of different people, not just family. Like it was cool. Once I accessed one, it was kind of just like a chain reaction, and I got like a string of great ones. So, pretty amazing that I was able to like receive that quickly.
Mm-hmm. And that surprised you?
Yes.
Oh,
yes. Actually, no, it doesn't, because I think right now I'm very regulated. Like when I'm in this environment with you all, like I'm very co-regulated. So maybe I'm already kind of in state zero.
I love that. I love that awareness of that possibility. Yes, I think you could be right there. Yeah, but lovely that you could access some positive memories of being safe. Many people that I work with don't easily have access to a safe memory. And so we have to create it. And that can take many sessions with a client that has pretty severe trauma. This is the work that I do with them in the beginning with their system. And fantasy is a great way. So I have clients that have places on other planets, under the earth, crystal caves, all different cool things. But what's important is that you can have the physical sensation and bring in all the senses of a place of safety. And once we can establish that, then I feel safe moving forward and exploring the trauma. Okay. Anybody else want to say anything quickly before we move on?
I will. It's Marcia. Yeah, I've been in like a very high state of arousal for a couple of weeks, and this was the most relaxed I've been in a couple of weeks. So it was
great.
I was really able to get into the relaxation in my imaginary safe space. Thank you.
And you noticed how that shifted your state by just imagining it can shift your state, right?
Yeah. But I don't think I would have been able to do it like 2 days ago just the timing was right today, because when I tried to relax before, it put me back in a trauma.
Yeah, Laura.
I just want to add a little something to that beautiful share that you just gave, Marcia. There's something about community and the group energy that makes our experiences exponentially more potent. So this is why we do work in groups also. There's a whole nother level of healing that can happen. So I'm really thrilled to hear that for you, Marcia, and for everybody. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Laura. All right, Heidi, yes.
I have a question, because for not just myself, but other people who have, where the trauma is coming from a physical sensation itself. So for me, that might be sensory processing if I'm over stimulated, imagining more sensory stuff, it can stimulate me more. But other people also, people who might have MS or rheumatoid arthritis or fibromyalgia or chemical sensitivities to smell or something, if their trauma is stemming from something physical and you're bringing those senses in, how do you deal with that? I mean, how do you help them? How do you help them come down from trauma without? I mean, because somebody even with like fibromyalgia is gonna go in there. They might be imagining things and feel more pain because it's pain touch or movement or you know what I mean?
I do. I think I understand your question, and it's a really great question. And I think Laura might have a really great answer as well. But for me in my work, the whole idea is for us to be in maybe a fantasy world where there isn't those dangers or those physical pains. So I would work with a person to find a resource, is what I call it. Find a place where the focus isn't on the physical pain or the physical world or a past trauma, but we learn how to experience through our fantasy, through our mind, experience a place of safety within our system. And it takes work. So somebody that has chronic pain, it might take a lot longer to find a resource where they're not physically sensing that pain. But that would be a whole 5-hour class if I wanted to go into the techniques I use for that. But I love the point that you bring up, that it can be really difficult. And so for many of my clients, I don't go into trauma at all until we can find a resource. And again, it might be another planet. It might be they have a different body, right? This isn't even their body, right? They have a body that doesn't have pain in this fantasy. And it takes work because we're wired into, and we're so identified with our pain and our trauma and our discomfort and our suffering. And so it's an important skill to learn to be able to have an experience outside of the habit. We're in this habit of having this disease or this pain or this suffering. And so working with fantasy is a great way to establish calm and safety within the system. Okay. I hope that helps. It's, again, a big topic, and I don't know if I did justice to it, but that's how I approach it.
I think I understand. I think part of what you're saying is if you have to leave some of the sensations out and create other imaginary ones to that are safe for that, then that's what you can do with the client. So for me, for instance, if I'm overstimulated with sensory processing, mm-hmm. and going into a place where I'm seeing, hearing, feeling could be just make it worse, then maybe I'm going into a state in which I'm sort of eliminating some of those things.
Yeah, maybe it's so there's no noise at all in this place. Maybe there's no sensation in this place, and that would be okay. But we're bringing you to a place of safety within sensation. Your body can sense safety. So, and again, it might take quite a few sessions to discover a place like that for you to go.
Okay.
But that would be fun for me. That's fun for me. I love doing that work with people. It's a journey that's fun. All right. I'd love to move on now, unless there's a big one more burning question. Anybody? This is a really, if all you get out of this is helping somebody feeling safe in their system with a tool like this, I'm happy, because it's a significant part of healing and working within healing trauma. All right, I will move on. Let me go back to my share here. Wait. Sharing. Someday I'll get faster at this and more efficient. I am not yet. Let's see, play. Okay. So again, I call this resourcing, and the goal is to help them have a bodily sensation associated with safety and comfort. So working with the charge, once a resource or this sense of safety is established within the system, then I'm more comfortable working with the charge when I know there's possible or definite trauma. Now, there's a lot of great resources and systems to learn how to work with charge. And of course, the TEH courses are my favorite resource. When I have learned different systems of working with energy, but when I met Laura and was exposed to the TEH courses, it really fit. It fit me. It fit my work. And so I'm really excited to be even here in her, you know, the presence of this course and being teaching and supporting it. It's so exciting. But everybody on this planet has some blocked charge from stress or trauma, and we need more people that can offer support and healing. So I'm thrilled to have this many people taking these courses and looking at the opportunity of even a full certification, because this work is so desperately needed. And you know, when we know that the physical body follows the energy and follows the charge, more people that can learn about charge and learn about healing the charge, really we're going to propel healing to a whole nother level. So I encourage you to continue to search for a system that fits you and helping people work with their charge. But if it's trauma that's the block charge, if it's big trauma, call it trauma with a capital T, or even complex trauma where there's so many different traumas that it's all gets bundled up into this big messy thing, it takes more specific training to work on that. The charge was blocked for a reason, and that was to keep the person safe. So if the person is dealing with big trauma, they really need somebody that's trained in how to help them unwind that trauma. And if the person is dealing with a current trauma, we're not going to go into that trauma charge, right? We don't want to dig deep into that trauma if they're currently in a dangerous or traumatic situation. And because we need them to have the heightened awareness to stay safe. We need them to have those abilities in place. And sometimes the work with this person is get them to safety, give them some skills and give them resources to help them. So we might have to refer to the professionals in the community resources that can help them to get safe. And we might be able to teach them some resourcing to help them kind of regulate calm in their system so that they can take action to help them be safer. But we're not going to go into the charge of trauma if they're still in trauma in their present day life. Okay. And people with this bigger trauma, they need help building resiliency and they need to build some tolerance in their system so they can allow for a safe release of the charge. And releasing the charge is really what we need for healing. So we don't want to go right into the charge. Okay. It takes some training and skill to work with this. So I just want to give you a sense of what I do as a trained somatic trauma therapist, in addition to using the four R's. Those are woven into the work that I do. And it's not linear. We don't follow this step by step. It's who knows what's going to show up when it shows up. But there's some things that do have to happen in order. Like number one, there's no trauma currently happening. That is a must. Number two is resourcing. I want to make sure that they have the ability to get to a calmer state, whether it's on their own or with co-regulating with me. But I want them to have this resourcing on their own so that as some of this comes to the surface outside of a therapy session, they have this tool that they can regulate themselves back. We work with, again, the four R's, two of them being the recognizing their state and respecting their patterns. So being able to explain the states of the nervous system so they can notice it and name it is really useful. And the pattern, because I've had so much training, well, not as much as Laura for sure, but I'm so fascinated with the personality energy patterns that has given me really helpful tools. And I do work with that because it's another map, right? The map of the nervous system helps the client have language around it. So I'm communicating in the same language, and the personality patterns also give us a map and some language around their experience, which then kind of let us have a little level of organization that makes it easier to move through healing. Another thing that I have to work on is delinking. And what that means is there can be lots of different traumatic experiences or memories that all get linked together. And we want to try and separate those and just work with one at a time. And so it's a process that can take many, many sessions to do this with a client. There's different types of traumatic events. And so I'm going to work with, we do what I call as a trauma event inventory, and for what they consciously are aware of, the trauma in their life. And we'll go and we'll work on the smaller traumas that are only in that state one or state two in their system still. And then we'll go into the state three and state four traumas gradually. So I want to help them learn to track their own charge and help them first with small discharge with the smaller traumas. Okay. So in the functional nutrition world, we call it start low and go slow, right? When we're talking about supplements and helping somebody with a new supplement or diet program, we titrate things in to help their system better tolerate the experience. Might have to do this with quite a few sessions before we move on so that they can build up the tolerance, the ability to fully experience the discharge. And I want to help them to learn how to allow the charge more organically and be curious about what the charge wants to do and get them comfortable with trusting it and allowing it. And when they're ready, we can go, if and when they're ready, we can experiment with going into the middle of what we call the trauma vortex, in the middle of this complex, yucky stuff. We want to get into the middle of the vortex of the trauma and allow the energy to move how it needs to move. We want to let it discharge organically, because what happened likely is that the person had an experience where they had to block their charge to manage it and to keep them from being totally overwhelmed. and the blocking of that charge dysregulates the system. So we want to allow that trauma to be completed. We want to let that person have the opportunity to allow the charge to move how it needs to move. And the good news is the energy knows what to do. If we get out of the way and allow it, the energy knows what to do. And I don't have to know what it needs, but I need to help my client to trust it, to be able to tolerate the charge being disrupted and moved, allow them to learn how to trust that they can allow the charge to move and really allow for full completion. And then this makes room in their system to create a different story. Okay. And so restorying is the next R. So I just wanted to take a minute to give you an example of what I can do as a trained trauma therapist, which is a little different than working with them without that training, right? But there's a lot of things that you guys can do with what you know now to support people that have a trauma history, okay? You have to know what your scope of practice is, okay? If you are not trained in dealing with the energy and the emotion of trauma, and you recognize the potential for it to show up to the surface, or it actually does show up, I'm going to teach you the three-step process of helping somebody regulate. So there's resourcing, right? But that's not always necessarily excellent in the moment of unexpected heightened charge. So the three-step process will be great for you. And then if it does show up unexpectedly, once you do the three-step process, then you need to stop there and refer out. Explain to them that this is beyond your scope of practice and be clear on what you can help them with. Okay. And there's a lot you can help them with because now you know how to help somebody with resourcing. You can guide them through something like this or teach them how to maybe practice that on their own. And I'm sure many of you have your own mindfulness techniques that you can use and teach people. And if you're in NEPT, then you have access to all the body freedom foundations that Dr. Rita Marie teaches. And those are really useful tools, stress management tools, and ways that we can help our client have some things that they can do outside of if you're not trained to deal with the actual charge of trauma. Here's some things that we can do to help them have some relief, at least. There's, of course, nutritional and lifestyle support. Really simple things we can do to tone the vagus nerve. When the vagus nerve is toned and healthy, then we can regulate better. Okay. It helps us with autonomic nervous system poise. So in NEPT, we have some information about how to do this. I have some information on this slide as well. So when the presentation notes are done, you can download these and I have a list of things that you can do to tone the vagus nerve. And of course, you can offer the connection and social engagement to your clients, right? Or, and to your friends or to whoever might need some support with trauma. So if you're not trained to work with the energy of the trauma, there are things that you can do just by being you and being with them and offering a space for them to be seen and to be heard is really healing. Literally will help tone the vagus nerve and support somebody in healing. And the thing is to remember that clients can sense your discomfort. They might not register it in their brain, but remember their autonomic nervous system is on guard all the time for, and they're already heightened in their defensiveness. So if you're uncomfortable with what they're experiencing, their nervous system is going to know, even if their brain doesn't know. All right. So it is your job. If you are uncomfortable, it is your job to direct the session or direct the conversation into a different direction. And if they're really heightened, use this three-step process. And if they're not, then you can do some of these other tools, right? The resourcing, mindfulness, body freedom foundations, nutritional lifestyle support, all of that. But keep in mind your scope of practice all the time. So here's the three-step, process to help regulate trauma or even just a big emotional reaction. This can be really, really helpful for your clients. And again, you'll get a printout of this. But the first thing is stop and see. I want to help you regulate back to the present moment. When we're reacting or we're having a trigger, it's because of something that happened in the past. Something in the present moment reminded us of something that happened in the past. So your body is living in the past. Your nervous system is stuck in the past. So stop and look around, right? Is it safe? What you're like, your mind probably knows it's safe. There's no tiger chasing you, but you need to tell your nervous system, looking around, using your eyes, look, tell your nervous system, there's no tiger. I'm safe, right? Make sure it's safe. Tell your nervous system it's safe. And once you can really be sure that you're safe, begin to regulate out of the intense emotion by seeing something pleasant in your environment, right? Find something that might evoke a sense of calm within you. I call this orientating to the present moment. Get yourself out of the past. And so I've even said it's 2019. It's Wednesday, April 10th. It's my dad's birthday. Okay, it's present moment, no tiger. Sigh and smile. Let your body feel the reality of the fact that you're safe, right? Exhale a sigh. Create a slight, I can't see all of the details here. Just even feeling the muscles change in your face can help shift your hormones, right? We can get oxytocin release. Our physiology will be affected here in a positive way if we simply smile, right? The feel-good hormone shifts the body from the sympathetic nervous system into the parasympathetic. Step and tap, tapping your feet on the floor. If you're in a meeting, you can even do this. If you're in a place where it looks weird that you're stomping around, I personally like to stomp as much as I can, because I tend to be more of a leaving pattern where I just check out of my body. So I need to work really hard at being here in my body. So when I'm stepping and tapping, for me, it needs to be a little more intense. But this crossing your hands will work. It connects movement to both sides of your brain if you can do this opposite and alternating kind of movement. So tapping into this will help you to regulate. Again, regulating back to state zero. So these are things that you can do when you notice yourself that you're reactive, or that your client is emotionally reactive, or you're sensing that a trauma is coming to the surface and you're not skilled or capable of taking care of it. This is a great tool. So I'll have this in the presenter slides, and also a specific handout, a separate handout just with this, so you can keep it in your office. The last step, and I know we're almost out of time, so I am going to go as quickly as possible. Restoring. I can stay a few extra minutes, so anybody else that wants to stay with me, you can. I'll get through the content, though, for those people that need to leave. Laura, you have a question?
I just would love to take a moment, if I can, to talk a little bit about the opportunity of the awakening.
Yes, thank you.
Before people have to dash. So is this an okay moment?
Yes, it is. Absolutely. Because it's a really important piece, because I gave you a teaser, but I didn't give you all the skills to really help you implement this. And the awakening is an opportunity. So
can we come out of the share for a minute? For that. Thanks, Kimberly. First of all, thank you so much. This is incredible what you're providing here today. I just want to say, you know, one of so many things that you shared popped out at me, but one thing specifically, a comment that you made in one of the slides, which was the opportunity to complete the discharge that we didn't have, many of us growing up, can be so much more potent when we're in person, live, in our physical bodies, in space together, and we have the support of the whole group energy, the whole group dynamic, and the whole group consciousness. The other thing that happens when we come together as a group is that there's something different. If you grew up in a dysfunctional family, and all of us had to some degree or another some of that, you know, our parents, God bless them, they do the best they absolutely can with what they were given in their legacy. But we have that opportunity to come together and create a functional family, create the opportunity to fill in with the kind of loving, nurturing energy that the many souls in the room bring to us. So, you know, there's a kind of healing that happens one-on-one, and a very different kind of healing that happens in a group experience, and a very different kind of healing that happens in a group in-person experience. And so whatever resistances might show up for you around that, the investment, the time, the travel, the, you know, the fears about that. I cannot tell you how life-changing this can be for you, for those people who take this leap. The amazing thing is that every time we do a closing circle at the end of our 3 days, I don't know if I've ever not heard somebody say, oh my God, I can't believe what happened for me. I can't believe the change. I can't believe I almost didn't come. So, you know, it's their words don't do it justice. I stumble around here because it's very limiting to use language to depict an experience of healing that you can have. And you can't give to your clients what you don't have for yourself. And those of you who took it before, you'll find if those of you who are returning, and I know some of you are returning to take it again, will find that you're going to experience it in a whole different way. Because the first time it's almost so, I can't find a better word, but for want of a better word, shocking. It's so like incredibly amazing, the experience of it, that we can't fully integrate the level of depth of it. So I don't know.
Can I speak really quick, just really quickly, Laura?
Yes, please.
The environment and your experience is what changes your DNA and your physiology. So if you want real change, we have to have an environment. We have to have an experience to really change our physiology. And so I just wanted to throw that in real quick.
Thank you.
And then I'll step back again.
Can I add something to that? It's like we're all seeds, but a seed needs a fertile environment. And that is what Laura provides for us.
And Kimberly too, and you too, Lynn. I mean, it's an incredible teaching team. You'll have both of us. You'll have all three of us there to hold that space and to create experiential learning. And so, you know, this happens once a year. So my question to you would be, what's the price of not coming, of another year of being stuck in this place, in this pattern for yourself? So if you can find a way to beg, borrow, or get your, you know, crawl your way there, please do, because you will not regret it. The transformation that is there for you, that is waiting for you, is unbelievable. And I don't know, Valerie, if you'd be willing to, I'm putting you on the spot a little bit, if you don't want to say, it's okay, but what you shared with me was so beautiful that it might be helpful for some people if you want to share it with the group, with this group.
Well, I'll try to shortcut it, but I realized I wasn't going to go because this really hits my buttons big time, and it's very challenging for me. And I had a session with Kimberly, and during that session, I realized that I had to go, that there is not a better chance for me to deal with the traumas and the challenges. There is no other place that is as helpful, as comfortable, and as safe and just protective as this. So I'm having to go again.
I'm so glad, Valerie. And, you know, just a reminder, April 14th, which is Sunday night, the price is going to go up $500. So if you want to do this, please do it now. You're going to get three great bonuses, a personal session with myself, Kimberly, and Tony, so as well as the tuition discount. And those of you who have taken it before, you'll get half price of this discounted price. So, you know, you've got a few more days to think about it, to get in under the wire. And I really hope I see you all there, because the more you have this healing for yourself, the more available you're going to be for your clients. And if you have any questions for me after, feel free to email me. So thank you, Kimberly, for letting me slip in here under the wire to share about that.
Oh, good. And we're right at about 7. So I am going to continue, and anybody else that needs to leave, I understand, but we'll get it all on video so that you can watch the replay. But I'm going to open it up, Laura, before, I don't know if you have to go, if there's any questions about the awakening before I finish the presentation. Nope. Any questions up with the information in the presentation so far before I move into the last R, restory? Angelica.
Yeah, just one real quick one. It's still really abstract for me how the nervous system senses the trauma before the story. Like, can you explain that? Like, how does that happen? So is it sensory stimulation that triggers your nervous system and then then you have the thought?
Yeah, we're going to cover that right now.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's go ahead and cover that. Let me share my screen again. Move this out of the way. Oops. Okay, so to answer Angelica's question, right, it's called neuroception. And this describes how the autonomic nervous system scans for cues. It's always looking for safety versus danger and life-threatening things. This happens physiologically without thinking. The brain doesn't have time to come on board. Your being has the ability to sense energy in the environment, to sense cues of danger or safety in the environment and from other people before your brain can process it. So neuroception, the ability to sense cues in the environment as well as internally, changes our physiology so we can deal with it. Okay, so if your body senses danger or senses safety, our physiology is going to react to whatever it senses. And then perception is detection with awareness. Our perceptions are built on past experience. So our perceptions change our physiology too. I learned many years ago from Dr. Candace Pert about molecules of emotion. These hormones, molecules, emotions, and I think somebody I know is currently reading that book as well, but they are created from the experience and perceptions of our experience. So this is where we get into the polyvagal theory of story follows state, and the physiology makes a lot of sense to me, and I like to explain it because the autonomic nervous system is shaped through our experience and our perceptions. After our system picks up on cues that might be dangerous, our humanness kicks in and starts to make meaning of the cues and creates the story. And these stories really shape our lives. We experience the state in the nervous system and, We experience this in our nervous system before. Sensations happen before we think about it in our brain, before we feel, before we create the story, before we have emotions. So there's a name for it, neuroception. Okay? We are physiological beings that have the ability to sense outside and internal dangers or threats. So often the stories we create and the emotions associated live below the surface of our awareness. They live in our subconscious mind. And in the awakening, Laura really helps us get to this. It helps us have some skills to tune into this. And helping your clients get to the unconscious story is a really important step in healing. But it's important to understand that it's bidirectional. Okay, the emotional processes that we have equally influence the physical state at the premotor level, and reciprocally, the state of the body frames the emotional state. Okay, so this can create a really complex vortex of these confusing symptoms. And if we can help the client separate their state in their nervous system and the sensations from the story, then we can begin to move the charge and create a new state that can lead to a new story. And often that we have to have some discharge in there of the blocked energy and the story that's blocked there. But that's the release of that can make room for a new story that's created intentionally and created with connection instead of from the state of protection, right? There's connection or protection. We can think of it as being in pattern, our defensive pattern, or being in presence. Different ways of explaining the same thing. But what's really interesting to me physiologically is that this all is happening with our autonomic nervous system, and the vagus nerve is the main player, right? 20% of vagal fibers are efferent, meaning from the body, from the brain, excuse me, to the body. So the brain is going to interpret and send information to the body to react. But 80% of the vagal fibers are afferent, from the body to the brain, from inside the body, then to the brain. So this means to me that our internal awareness must be really, really important for us as human beings. So the cool thing is that we can work with the energy, we can, and or the charge, however you want to call it, within the body to change the brain and change the story and change the physiology. So when we work with both directions, I think healing can be so much faster and easier. So the healing techniques that I've learned in my work as a nutritionist, really important skills to work with the body and the physiology from that direction. The skills I've learned as a trauma therapist and through Laura with the TEH program, Help Me Heal, helping work with people from both directions, and it makes it faster and easier. Ending points here. Trauma lives in the system, not in the event. Many factors influence the outcome of trauma. Our perception of the event itself, the story we tell ourselves about the event or the circumstances, our ability to manage the charge and allow for the natural flow, our current level of health, our gut health, our diet, our exercise, the environment affects how trauma affects us in the long run, right? Like the toxic load in our environment, toxic people in our environment, genetics, and our inherited trauma, or even generational trauma, what we inherit from our ancestors. Also, the support in the community that we have, the social engagement that we have or don't have, will affect the outcome. And did the original problem or threat get solved? So all of these things are factors that influence the outcome of trauma. But trauma is not about the event. It's about the system. And the good news is it's a lot of things we can do to help the system, right? So these are just some slides about reminding you to support the physiology. Here's my slide, which you all have copies of, how to stimulate the nervous. It's the vagus nerve to induce a parasympathetic response. Remember, healing happens in parasympathetic physiology, not in sympathetic physiology, and not in dorsal vagal parasympathetic. We need to be in the social engagement parasympathetic, and these are tools you can use to help that. Of course, the Body Freedom Foundations, these are things people need to do on a regular basis that you can help them with. And again, just one last pitch for getting more skills on learning how to work with the energy. So the TEH program will help you learn how to work with the energy, the defensive patterns, and the old story, and will help you to better serve your clients. If the big trauma does come to the surface, you'll be better able to stay calm in the moment and give them resources to help them work on the trauma. And it gives you the confidence to work at a deeper level with people. Not everybody you come in contact with is going to have this big trauma. So there's many people you can help with these skills without having a trauma certification. But having these skills and having the confidence will help your nervous system be in the place that allows for safe social connection with your clients, which in and of itself is healing. Right? Because when we're in social connection, safe connection, it changes our physiology and promotes healing. So just by being with people, just by being your brilliant self with people and feeling safe and confident within your system while they explore their healing, is healing in and of itself. So remember, we can reshape our nervous system and we can heal trauma patterns. There's already a lot you can do, and there's more opportunities for you to learn other skills as well. So I look forward to learning more, continuing to learn more about this, and continuing to pass on what I know to all of you with this. If anybody has the need for more one-on-one support, Laura and I are both available. If you need if you really need some more one-on-one support, please reach out to us. And I really encourage you to start with the awakening if you haven't done it or you're not already enrolled, because it will drastically shift your system and really help you with skills that are needed just to be a healthy human, but also as a practitioner. It really was the turning point for me as a practitioner to open myself up to my own gifts as a healer, and to really own it, and to really start to feel safe enough within my own system to be seen as a healer. So that was a lot. We went quite a bit over, but I'm happy to stay on for a little while longer to connect and ask if there's questions first, and then we'll do a check out and goodbye. So questions or comments? Angelica?
Okay. So to follow up to my earlier question, could you just give me an example? Sorry, sometimes I need it to really be spelled out, of how my nervous system might pick up on, my neuroception might kick in, how I might pick up on something, and then that might trigger my story. Do you have like a common example or...
I have a great slide that I didn't put in this one because I thought it was going to be too long. So if you give me a second, it's actually a quote from Anadea Judith's new book here. And I'm going to read this to you. I want you to think of this, understand this. The autonomic nervous system is going to capture cues from the environment, from inside of us and outside of us. Sensations, then these sensations are these cues, information from the environment comes into the body and it starts to build a charge, okay? And so these sensations then are in our system. And you can think of it like this. So you have a sensation of my skin is crawling, then I feel uncomfortable because my skin is crawling. Then the story I tell myself is that someone is out to get me, and the emotion is fear or anger. And there's a whole continuum between the senses, the feelings, and the emotions, but it started with sensation from the nervous system, information from the environment, outside or inside. And remember, food is information for all of you health coaches and nutritional practitioners. Remember, food is information that your nervous system, your body is taking in, right? So we're taking in information from all over the place. It turns into a sensation. Our nervous system can sense it, energy, and nervous system senses it. We then have a feeling, and then an emotion, and a story. That's Anadea, that's not me. And Laura might have a really even better way to explain it.
I'd actually love to piggyback off of what you just said a little bit and just add a hypothetical to it. Let's just say that sensation of my skin is crawling started when you were a baby and you were left in the crib and you were wet and your mother didn't change you for a long, long time. And this is pre-verbal. So you have no cognitive way to hold that sensate experience. But then when you're older and you feel nervous or you feel abandoned or in a relationship or you feel uncomfortable about something and your skin is crawling, you're not consciously making a connection to when you were an infant in the crib, but your body remembers. Yep. So that's why I love that point that you brought out, Kimberly, about 80% of the information is afferent from the physical body to the brain. That's why the wisdom of healing lives in our body and in experiential learning. Yeah. And why it's so important for us. We're going to learn way, way faster than at the 20% pace that we learn by going from here down.
Yeah. And to separate, this gives us, these tools give us the ability to separate the story from the sensations, the state in the body. And that makes it so much easier. We can organize it better. We can make sense of it. We can work with it when it's all in this big bunched up, messy, confusing thing. It feels overwhelming and it's harder to work with. So being able to separate the two and know that your body is supposed to be keeping you safe. That's what your body does. It's, you're doing nothing wrong. It's in fact absolutely necessary. It's just part of being human. So to be able to kind of step back and go, oh, okay, my body is just doing its job. And these sensations are my body trying to keep me safe. And the story from the past isn't true right now. I hope that helped you have a little more understanding.
It does. It's just, it's kind of like time travel. It's very abstract, but like I'm getting it. And I think with future trainings, I'll click.
And on. From an actual experience yourself. So during the awakening, you'll get to have the experience and it will probably click for you at that point, I would guess.
I'm going to be there. That's already signed, sealed, and delivered.
Thank you, Angelica. What else? Comments, questions? No big burning questions, then we'll do a quick checkout and say goodnight. All right. Right. Well, let me start with Lynn Rose. A quick ending statement, comment. Or even just a simple goodbye, anything you'd like to share?
I don't have anything specific, but it was a great talk, lots of good information. The polyvagal theories just are so amazing to me. So I love you. Thank you.
Thank you, Lynn. Marcia.
Yeah, I'm so excited about this. This is really awesome. I feel just like I learned so much and it went so deep. I don't even know what's going to happen. I just feel thrilled. And I also want to say that I just watched a video on how to stimulate the vagal nerve, and having playing music and singing is something that was recommended. And so is taking bitters before your meal. So I just thought I'd shoot that out.
All true. Good. Thank you. Glad you're learning that. Jill.
Oh, this was really fantastic, Kimberly. I'm very, very interested in this, and everything was just really awesome, and it makes me want to continue my learning. So I thought, oh, where did you get your training? I'd like to know that, and maybe be a place where we can go even after my certification with this. So that was
yeah,
my
I'd be happy.
Curiosity.
Well, you're getting the best stuff that I've ever gotten with this program, but I can share with you the other trauma trainings that I've done for sure. Yeah. Thank you. Laura.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jill. Laura.
I greatly enjoyed this session. I think for me, I have to experience it physically to understand it. So I'm getting red and hot, but this is just me. But probably I've understood more than I think at this moment. Mm-hmm. But I enjoyed the presence. I feel so relaxed, and you can hear it in my throat. I need to almost spit it out, like there's a big release that happened with all of you, and I thank you for that.
Oh, well, I'm grateful that you allowed that processing to happen and that you have the awareness around what's happening in your system as you learn this. So continue to be curious about that, and so you can notice it and name it, right? Thank you. Thank you, Laura. Mary Lynn.
Yes, great time to be with you all. I think I've gotten some new ideas about integrating some of the work that we've done before. I'm really grateful for that. Thank you, Kim. It's really good.
Thank you, Mary Lynn. All right, Debbie.
Well, thank you for an incredible class. I'm just intrigued by all this. I feel like it's exactly what I I'm ready to be learning, and I just want to kind of go deeper with it. And I feel really grateful to you for putting this together for us.
Thank you. So happy to have you here and happy that it's useful and relevant to you. Angelica, have you said everything or would you like to say anything else?
I think my fascination's apparent.
I'm so glad there's someone as excited as me about all of this. It's very, very exciting for me that people are resonating with the information and finding it useful. Valerie.
Thank you again for another great class. I really do resonate with what you're teaching. And each time I hear it, it just kind of sinks deeper and deeper. Thank you.
Thank you for being with us. Martha?
Yes, I really love all this. I love all the positive energy that just flows within this environment of learning and support. And I love that the restory, because, you know, life's not perfect. And trauma for some people is their normal, and to be able to find a way to help them restore that and recreate that, that's just such a beautiful thing about all of this.
Yeah, thank you. You know, we can change our internal environment. We purposefully, right? We can work with it, and we can make it change with intention what we want it to be. So I'm excited that that message got through a little bit. So, and we'll continue to work on that process and give you more skills to change that internal environment, which will change your external environment, right?
Or
your
thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Heidi.
So this was really interesting to me because I really listen to this information that you're giving, and I think about, because a lot of my trauma tends to be current, like I get, my sensory system gets overstimulated because of the disorder that I have, and then it's very current time. But I was realizing, I was listening, you know, as soon as I remove myself from the stimulus of whatever it is, then I have this opportunity to use some of these tools till maybe to calm my system down faster, not be in that over stimulated or sometimes frozen state for as long. And it really gave me some new ideas about maybe how to open that up and make that happen. So I'm really interested and excited to go off and try that experiment, you know, create some safe spaces, do some things with my body to bring that down much faster. And maybe even over time that helps with not getting as overstimulated, you know, in those environments too. I can maybe even in real time bring it down. But it's really good, because that lag time after being overstimulated can result in that ongoing story. You know,
yeah.
You get that story trapped in. And I've done a lot of work to try and release that, but I can see that these tools might even, you know, help that even more. So I'm excited.
Right. Thank you. I love that you could name all of that for us. And I think it's a great example of how just changing the story in our mind often isn't enough, that we want to use the system and learn how to work with the charge and work with our system as well as working with the mind and the story. So thank you. Thank you so much. Let's see, Janet.
Thank you. Every time I learn more and more from you, Kimberly, from Laura, the program is so amazing. I see so much excitement. I've been to it several times now, and this is my second plus year. So for those of you who want to go, make it happen. This worked for me. I've watched it work with other people at the Awakening and from the other classes that I've taken, the advanced ones, and it's phenomenal. This needs to be taught in grade school. We need to reach out and get this going. So thank you again. Thanks, Kimberly.
Thanks, Janet. So nice to have you. And then Janine, are you still with us?
I'm here chasing dogs.
But this brought back memories of 4 years of my counseling with my trauma and my hallucinations and the delirium and learning about diet and all this. It's wonderful finally to see all the pieces, what my counselors used on me to reach these areas, to even be able to sit with myself and to think and to feel human again. So I'm really looking forward to the awakening and being able to physically experience this. So thank you so much.
Well, I'm so glad that, and I'm so glad that you can see the correlation with this learning, with what your counselors did with you to help you, right? And now you're learning these skills to help others. So I'm so excited to have you with us.
Thank you.
And Teresa, can we see you with goodbye, or are you even there? Oh, hi. Still can't hear you though. There we go.
You can hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. So beautifully articulated from last week to this week. Just so good. And I loved hearing you reference Dr. Joe and epigenetics and really like where all this actually leads and how big of a trickle down that really is happening with this work. So, and I've done, you know, as you know, a lot of the work with Laura already and within the other groups that we've done this work with and continued in other ways, but I feel like, and I just signed up for Coming to the Awakening a couple days ago. And I feel like this, when I first took all of this, did all this work quite a few years ago, it was exactly that. It was like the shock and awe. And I feel like coming back this time, it's like coming back and practicing and passing, dribbling, and back to these real foundations to understand further, comprehend further, connect more dots. And where before it was kind of like, oh my gosh, this is like not overwhelming. It was overwhelming, but just integrate it more and more. So I'm excited to come back with that preface to, I think, enjoy going deeper more instead of it being, oh my gosh, what's happening? But beautifully articulated, Kimberly. Like,
oh, thank you so much. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. So great. Thank you.
So happy to be able to spend time with you in person again at the Awakening. And for all of you that are going to join us in May, I'm so looking forward to it. And I appreciate the validation, that the repetition. Sometimes I feel like, is it overkill? But for me, I needed to hear it a lot and I needed to integrate it many times. So I will continue to offer as many opportunities to help you learn this and integrate it, and support Laura and her efforts to help you learn this and integrate it as well, so that we can bring this work to the world. So, Lynn and Laura, any ending goodbye statements from you?
Just that it's such an honor to dance with you, Kimberly. Teresa really kind of summed it up there. I love how you really bridge the worlds of science and genetics and nutrition and biochemistry with the emotional language and the, you know, the language of psychology. So, so important to, and so valuable to, and potent to bridge those gaps. And you did it so brilliantly and beautifully. So thank you for that. And thank you all for your passionate interest in this topic. And I hope I see you all there in May. So it's great to be a part of this.
Thank you for being with us. And thank you all for spending another half hour with us. I am so grateful for the audience and the ability to share. And Lynn, thank you so much for managing things so that I can deal with it, because the technology is still a challenge for me. So You are so appreciated. All right. All right, everyone. Thank you so much. Thanks for spending this time, and we'll see you soon, I hope. And again, reach out anytime.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Thank you. Thank you, Lynn.
You're welcome.
So appreciate it. Thank you for all of your work. I could not do this. It feels so nice to feel supported and